Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want you to get a pen and piece of paper because I'm going to give you something important this morning, and you want to get it. Amen. I want to welcome those who come in from the blog line from all over the world. Got over 195 different nations that we've combined with this line, and over 100 million different listeners that are combined with this line. And we just praise God for those who are coming from every country. So many, many countries we can't name all of them. We're just trying to name a few to let you get an idea of what's going on the line. Amen. God is so good. Amen. Ambassador Hagen, get ready. I'm going to ask you for station identification in just a little while after we get our prayer and praise and everything. God bless all of you. People are coming, and we're aware that they're coming from all walks of life, from all church affiliations, church denominations, oh my God, and economic stratas. God bless all of you. God is in the blessing business. Now, if you believe that prayer will change things, you're on the right line. If you need a miracle from the Lord, you're on the right line. So many miracles have happened on this line. I may give you a glimpse of it after a while, but just so many. My God. But if you need one, believe me, this is the right line because God is granting so many miracles. If you want to know something, if something is of God, just look at the fruit. Amen. Look at the fruit. One of the fruits of this line is that so many people are growing. Some of them I don't even recognize through their growth. Amen. They used to be babies, but they're growing. And now instead of drinking milk, they're eating milk. They're eating meat. You understand what I'm trying to say? Amen. The enemy has to back up because they have faith to believe God. And I keep on telling y'all, I may say this during my presentation, but again, but it's so important. It's not just a meager importance. This is huge, huge. And what am I trying to say? That you must learn, if you don't know, you must learn to believe God. It's huge, y'all. 600,000 people died because they didn't believe. Well, let me say, 599,998 people died out of 600,000. 599,998 died simply because they did not believe God. And maybe I'll get it here and read it to you in a little while. Just a little while. Amen. They didn't believe God. And they all died except two out of 600,000. Because they didn't believe God. It wasn't because they did so much lying. It wasn't because they didn't honor their mother and father. No. It wasn't because they were gossipers. No. It wasn't because of their sex sins. No. It wasn't because they stole a lot of stuff. No. Although they were not perfect. But the main reason why they didn't make it to the promised land and they perished in the wilderness is because they did not believe God. That's offensive to God. It's a major thing to him. That's why Jesus healed people all the time when they believed him. But when they didn't believe, no healing came. It could come forth, but all of them believed him, so he healed them. One believing. God, we love you. Let's pray. God, we love you. Thank you for what you've done for us and for this prayer line. God, you said whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. God, we ask in the name of Jesus that healing virtue be loosed on this prayer line. That the anointing would fall like fresh rain, like fresh dew. falling and up on a rose petal, that you would release healing on this line, that you would release the financial wealth. I don't know if I've asked you that before, but it came out of my mouth and my mind. I'm asking you to shake the chunk tree and release financial wealth on this prayer line, that we may be able to do great and marvelistic things for you. God, that we might even reach the world more. Oh, yeah, you have blessed us to reach the world with over 100 million different listeners. And we don't say that proud, but God, we desire to reach more people for you. We're not lackadaisical. We are people who have come, Lord, desiring to reach the world for you. Throughout the lifeline, through our lives, God, that people who are drifting and sinking would catch the lifeline and would be saved. Thank you, Lord. This is my 50th year of blowing my horn for you. I realize that not too long ago, I've been blowing for you for 50 years. God, and all I can just say is that I've always worshiped you. You're the only true and living God. And God, I've always been faithful to you. I have only blown my horn for you and for you alone. You are the only true and living God, and you have always been my only God. I want to ask you something. In the name of Jesus, God, bless this prayer line. Let it grow so unbelievably until I really say my eyes could not see and my ears have never heard of what you can do through this prayer line. In the name of Jesus. And God, when we call people to come for this special occasion for our 50th, let them take time to come and to be with us. I don't ask you for much, but I'm asking for that. In Jesus' mighty name, let this prayer line be a financial blessing. Looking forward to the day when you bless us, where we can be a phenomenal blessing to every person on this prayer line. You did say you would supply our every need. It's my desire, Lord, that you would bless this prayer line to be, I don't know the word, but philanthropist like, or in a philanthropist way, that you would bless this prayer line to be in a philanthropist way, that we may be a blessing to every person who is in need, in the name of Jesus. Is there anything too hard for you, God? No. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and we shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. And you have not because you ask not. And if any two of you shall agree on earth, just touching anything that you shall ask, it shall be done. I'm praying for this prayer line today. I've been fair with people and prayed for all their needs. I pray for their son and their daughter. In the name of Jesus, I pray for sicknesses and health and all kinds of things. But look on this prayer line today. Holy Ghost, I pray that you take over. Lord, if there's any sin, forgive all sin on this prayer line. In the name of Jesus, Holy Ghost, lead us. Lead the keeper. And bless your people. In such an ultra awesome way. And we will give you the glory. My. We will give you the praise. And it shall be done for thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen and amen and amen. God bless all of you on the prayer line this morning. I hope y'all wake up here. Don't get too comfortable. Amen. And don't get too comfortable. Wake up. And let's speak to each other. Good morning to all of you on the prayer line. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hallelujah. Amen. I just want to tell you, I love you. It ain't a thing you can do about it. I got that from Dr. Elder S.E. Mitchell. Some of y'all will remember him. He was my pastor. Years and years ago, I adopted that from him and brought it to the front line and to others. I love you and anything you can do about it. Amen. He used to tell us that way back there in the 60s and 70s. He was a great, great, great man. And it has been a blessing to my life. God bless you. I want you, every person who has a reason. Now, I don't expect you to do it if you don't have a reason. I found out that a firm, loud praise makes the devil lose his power. And you can understand it if someone was trying to have power and they heard you say, Jesus. I mean, you know, who's going to go up and who's going to go down? The enemy is going to go down. Jesus is going to go up by you giving a firm exclamation to his name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So I want to ask you for a few minutes. We'll do this about a minute and a half. Now, when you hear me say praise the Lord, amen, that means I'm moving to another area of praise. I'm not stopping to praise. I just want to move to another area of praise. All right, this morning. I'm going to ask all of you who have a reason and a right to praise the Lord, which I believe all of you do, why don't we open our mouths and give God a loud praise. Here's my praise. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, help me praise him.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
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 Thank you,
Lord.
Thank
you,
Lord.
Thank
you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Bible, get some paper and a pen, because you'll need these things. Amen. I'm trying to be a blessing. Lord, I'm trying my best to help. But they've got to help themselves, too. So get your paper and pen. God bless you. I want to give you this, and my purpose for giving you this is to be a blessing to your life. And I want to give you this not only to be a blessing, but to get you a miracle. If you need a miracle, I need a miracle. And I want the Lord to let some incredible things happen in my life. If you don't need that, then perhaps you can just go to sleep. But if you need that, then be attentive, listen, and get your pen and piece of paper and write this down. I want to show you in the Word something incredible. I mean, phenomenal, incredible that happened to some men and women of God. I want you to see it for yourself. Turn to 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, and beginning at the first verse. I'm going to read this in the NIV. You can read it in the King James Version, but I want it to become very clear to you of what happened here. This is something incredible. What is my message entitled this morning? God is getting ready to let some incredible things happen to you. To you. I'm concerned with compassion for you. Want some incredible things happen. All right, I want to read this for you. After this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and with some of the Mennonites, those from Mount Seir, came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Now, Jehoshaphat here is the king over Judah and even extended to Jerusalem, all around that. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you." That's verse 2. "From Edom, from the other side of the sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar," that is in Gedi. Amen. In other words, they're close to you, Jehoshaphat, and those of Judah, the people of Judah, and those in Jerusalem. All right. Now, verse 20. Let me see. I may go back to the King James, because I want you all to read right with me. All right, verse 3. Let me read that. Well, no, let me start at verse 2 again. "And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side of Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi.'" Verse 3. "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah." All right. Let me close right there with the reading of the Word. I want to talk here from that subject again. I say it. God is getting ready to let some incredible things happen to you. Now, here's what happened. Three armies came together, coming against Jehoshaphat. The Moabites, the Ammonites, and those from Mount Seir. From reading the text, I gather there were around 80,000 to 90,000 soldiers that were coming against God's people to kill them. Yeah. What had they done? Nothing. They just were blessed. See, that's the key right there. I gave y'all a key. If y'all don't get nothing else, if you just get that, you got something this morning. You've been wondering what that woman did to you or what you did to that woman. You know you didn't do nothing to her. That man, you know you didn't do nothing to him. And you've been keeping in the back of your mind, what did you do? Why do they hate your guts? Why? Let me tell you why. They hate your guts because you blessed. You blessed. That's the reason why they hate your guts. Why do they hate Jesus' guts? Because he was blessed. Amen. He was the most blessed man who walked on the face of the earth. They hated his guts. He was blessed. So that's the answer to your question. You didn't do nothing to him. You're just blessed. And see, the devil don't like you when you're blessed like that. See, you're just blessed like that, and they hate your guts. I hope you get that and take it. Now, here is three armies coming against Jehoshaphat. He's just blessed. He's over the children. He's over the all those of Judah and all those in Jerusalem. And they come against him. Don't try to kill him. These are the children of Israel, too. Yeah, they're just blessed. They just grew from just a few hundred to over now 600,000. They're a threat to everybody. They're just blessed. Oh, my God. And now when they came against him, Jehoshaphat, he feared, the Bible says. And when he feared, he called his people together, and they bowed their heads before the Lord and knelt down and prayed and began to remind God of his promises. And God heard their prayer. And, oh, my God, God, when he hears your prayers, my God, that means that something is getting ready to happen, something wonderful, something incredible is getting ready to happen to you when he hears your prayers. Because, see, everything God does is incredible. Just look at him, how he hurled the sun into space and called the light day and the darkness night, and did it so explicitly that if the sun would move just a few hundred feet away from the earth, we'd get cool. And if the sun would move a few hundred feet closer to the earth, we'd get warm. See, everything he does is incredible. Put the fish in the sea, everything. Birds in the air, all the plants are everywhere. He's an incredible God. So here they are, fearing, but they got God on their side. Now watch this. Right in the midst, when they call a prayer and a fast, right in the midst, God let Jehaziel stand up. Oh, yeah. And he sent a message to him saying that the battle is not yours. No, no, no. You won't have to fight this battle. It's not yours. My God, if you let that go over your head, I hope you didn't. That's what God has been trying to tell you. You're in the midst of a struggle right now. Your back is against the wall. Looks like they're forming tricks on you everywhere just to keep you out. And you're hurting deep inside right now. And God just sent you a message right in this text right here to Dr. Bernard Johnson. He knew the people. He says, you're not going to have to fight the battle. The battle is not yours. God said it's his. He's going to fight it for you. And God says to Jehoshaphat and the children here of Judah and Israel, all there in Jerusalem, said, he's going to do something special for you. All you got to do is believe. If you go to the fourth chapter of Hebrews, don't do it right now. Let me just tell you, in the Hebrews, the fourth chapter, around, the sixth verse. Yeah, the sixth verse, I believe. It will tell you that if you don't believe, you may die. Amen. Saints of God. You may be wiped out. Why? That's what happened to the children of Israel. They were God's people, and they failed to believe God. You got to believe him. Amen. They were wiped out, every one of them, except two, who made it to the promised land. And why were they wiped out? Because they didn't believe. Read it for yourself. It's right there in the text. Hebrews 4th chapter. I believe it's around the 6th verse. They were wiped out. They didn't make it in. Because they did not believe. So here is Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel. God speaks to them, but what happens? They believe. And what happens? The next morning, they went out. God had set up ambushes against this army that had come together, three armies that came together. And God let them start fighting among themselves, and they wiped each other out. They didn't have to lift a finger. They wiped each other out. Oh, my God. And they start, I don't know what caused them to fight, but God set up ambushments, the word says. And they begin to fight, and they wiped each other out. There was not one of them left. Not one. And what did God do then? he told them now, Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel and Judah and Jerusalem, go out there among them. I don't normally allow y'all to do this. I normally, if I hate your enemies that much, I'll tell you, don't take nothing from them. Don't take one. Don't take their cattle. Don't take their dogs. Don't take their cats. Don't take the money. Don't take nothing. But I'm gonna give y'all permission this time. Go out there and take the spoil. In other words, take everything y'all want to take. And these were soldiers. They took all their possessions with them. So they had all kind of jewels on them. They had all kind of money on them. They took them, and I estimated, because I'm with figures, they had around, it was about $80 million they got out of these. See, all these dead soldiers, they got money on them everywhere. They took jewels. It was probably about $80 or $90 million they got from this army. And God let there be an exchange of wealth. Now, that's incredible. Would you say that that's incredible? I mean, all of a sudden they were poor, they become rich. All of a sudden three armies are facing them, and God fights all of them, and they don't have to lift a finger, and they go out there, and all of them are dead. That's incredible. Yeah. God let an incredible thing happen to the children of Israel, the children of Judah, and those of Jerusalem. And I want to tell you how it happened. Here are the steps of what happened to Jehoshaphat and the children of Judah to get it happened. Number one, these are seven principles. Number one, they went through a great, great, great test. Just write down test. Number one, if you are of God, if you are doing the will of God, if God's hand is on your life, you rest assured you're going to have some tests. I got it from 2 Chronicles in this text here, the 20th chapter, the first verse. Jehoshaphat and the children were facing some of the greatest tests, or one of the greatest tests they've ever had in their life. It came to pass after that, this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and an army from Mount Seir, three armies were coming together. They had never faced a test like that. They're coming together to kill them. And let me tell you something. Some of y'all are going through the greatest test of your life. You've never been through nothing like this before, ever. But let me tell you something. I read the other day from a phone with quotes, yeah. It said that the enemy always fights the hardest when he knows God has something great in store for you. Once you get that, the enemy always fights the hardest when he knows God has something great in store for you. These folks are going through the greatest test of their life, Jehoshaphat and those of Judah and Israel. Going through the greatest test. Now, I'm hitting somebody on this line right now. You've been going through the greatest test of your life. You ain't never seen nothing like this. Oh, I could say it in a nice polite, but you haven't ever seen anything like this. But let me just be real. You ain't never seen nothing like this before happen to you in your life. You're going through a test. And if the enemy is attacking you, that means that you're on the right track. If the enemy is testing you in the area that you're being tested in, that means that something incredible is getting ready to happen to you. Then God's getting ready to bless you because you're going through a test like you've never seen before. Okay? If the enemy is coming against you in your health, guess what? I believe that the blessing is going to fall in your health. It means that God's getting ready to heal you. If the enemy has been messing with your finances, it's a test, and you know it's a test. I believe it means that God's getting ready to bless you in your finances. If the enemy has been attacking your kids, and it's a test, I believe that it means that God's getting ready to save your son. Say, you ought to be praising God. Save your daughter. Amen. You've been going through a test. They look like they're getting further away from God. The more you pray, look like they're getting further away. It's a test. That means God's getting ready to turn around and save them. It's a test. You can't say that. Let me principle. Second principle is this. Not only when something incredible is getting ready to happen to you, this happened to Jehoshaphat and the children of Judah and Israel. Not only did they go through a test, but secondly, they didn't listen to the voice of fear. Don't listen to the voice of fear. See, fear comes to destroy you. It doesn't want you to get your blessing. It comes to minimize your financial blessing. It comes to minimize your healing. It comes to minimize your kids being saved, everything. It comes to minimize you from getting that promotion on your job. You didn't do your best because you were fearful. See, you can't let fear take over your life. I got it here in the text, 2 Chronicles 20 and 2. There came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, this great army comes upon you. And it says that Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Now, I like that part right there. See, you can't listen to the voice of fear because the voice of fear will make you and tell you throw in the towel. It ain't going to work. You can't do that. You can't. See, that's why the children of Israel perish, because they sent some spies over there in the land that God had promised them, and they came back fearful and said, we can't do it. There are giants in the land. Too many big old folks over there. We can't do it. They had big grapes on the pole so big to feed those giants. And so they had fear. But see, that fear, you can't listen to the voice of fear, because it will make you miss your blessing. Then listen to the voice of hope. Listen to the voice of power, love, and sound mind. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Get that in your spirit, that you've got the Lord on your side, and with him on your side, you're more than anything against you. You're more than the whole wide world against you. Don't let fear get you. Excuse me. In the name of Jesus. All right? I could talk about that a little bit more, but I got to move on. Listen, first of all, you're going to go through a horrendous test many times. It's going to be a test. Secondly, when I said a test, I just thought about this prayer line. We've been through a horrendous test. The enemy trying to completely destroy the line, trying to charge people to come on the line and all kinds of stuff. Don't have time to go into that. But we went through a test. But God is multiplying us now. Mess with me and I'll multiply. That's a message I preach. Amen. He's multiplying. Don't listen to the voice of fear. 2, 3, seek help from the Lord. Amen. It's right here in the 4th verse of 2 Chronicles 20 and the 4th verse. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of the cities of Judah. See, they asked help of the Lord. Let me tell you something. If you're facing a test, most time on your job, if you got people on your job, supervisors who are coming against you, and you know you've been doing a phenomenal job and they're just jealous of you, don't go to somebody right on their same level. Go to the top. Amen. Because if you go to somebody on the same level, that may not help you at all. They right with the other supervisor, amen, in cahoots together. Go to the top. If the Lord, ask God to take you, you know, that you can make your request known to the higher power. See, because God can do that, and you need that, amen. Go to the top if you can. When I'm getting ready to do something, my mother was a phenomenal woman, but I didn't go to mama. I went to the Lord. I went to him because he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all I could ask or even think. See, seek help from the Lord, y'all. Some of y'all dishonor the Lord. I said you dishonor the Lord. Yeah, you're a great woman of God. You're a great man of God, but you dishonor the Lord. How you do it? You go to your daddy, call him, and ask him before you even talk to God. You go to you go to your mama. You go to your pastor before you even talk to God. Get down on your rusty knees. And I say that because you ain't been down there in a long time. Go to God and ask him, Lord, what would you have me do? I hate for people to come to me, and if I mention something, they're trying to tell me what to do. I'm going to God. Get off my case. Let me go to God and let me talk to him. Now, after that, then you can get maybe two or three witnesses. The Lord will confirm and stuff. But listen, go to God first. And they sought help from the Lord. If you're going to have something incredible happen to you, who better go to God first? Let God know that you honor him first. First of all, here it is. First thing on the seven principles. Test. You're going to have a phenomenal test. Two, don't listen to the voice of fear. It will make you go wrong. It will make you throw in the towel. Don't listen to it. Have faith in God. Thirdly, seek help from the Lord. He's the one to go to first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all that other mess, all that other stuff, brother, shall be added unto you. Seek God first. His four things. What gave them something incredible happened. Fourth thing, they presented a thorough case before the Lord. I want to say it again. Present a thorough case before the Lord. It's so important, y'all. You say, well, God, you know everything. It's important that you come to him in an intelligent way and present your case the best way you can. You say, well, I ain't got no doctorate degree and all that. Listen, some folks who ain't been to school but 3 years, the third grade, have a better intelligence than those who have PhDs. Why? Because they got common sense. Take your third grade education and thoroughly go before the Lord and present your case in a thorough way. Let me prove it to you. 2 Chronicles 25. I want y'all to see Jehoshaphat and Judea, the children of Judah and Jerusalem. They stood before the Lord in the court and before the new court. And look how he presented the case. Watch this. He goes to God, as Jehoshaphat says this, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou the God in heaven? And you rule not only over all some kingdoms, but all the kingdoms of the heaven. And in your hand is there not power and might, so that nobody is able to withstand you? Verse 7, he says, are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land? Oh, my God. And before I stand before you, God, you gave us the seed of Abraham. You gave it to the seed of Abraham, your friends, God, forever. I mean, you gave us this blessing forever, and we are your friends. Mm-hmm. That we should go and be the inhabitants of the land before the people of Israel. You come and you gave us this and made us the seed of Abraham, and didn't we dwell there and have built you a sanctuary for your name's sake? We didn't put it in the name of Bernard Johnson, we didn't put in the name of Dr. Stern, or Dr. Pfeiffer, or Dr. Hodges, or Dr. Betty Johnson. We didn't put it in their name. We put it in your name. And when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, and pestilence of famine, we stand before this built in your name, and thy presence, for thy name is in this house. We put your name in this house. And we cried to thee in our affliction. Then you said you would help us. You said you would help us. And you would hear us, God. And now here comes the children of Mount Seir and the children of Ammon and Moabites, whom you would not let us, Israel, invade. You remember that, Lord? We could have invaded them, but you said no. And when they came out of the land of Egypt, they turned from them. And destroyed them not. We didn't destroy them. But here they come now, Lord. Behold, I say, how they reward us for not destroying them. They come against us now to come and cast us out of the possession, thy possession. You gave it to us. They want to take us out of here, which thou hast given us to inherit. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. We don't even know what to do. But our eyes are upon you, God. We turn to you. See, he's putting his case before the Lord. He's making his case thorough. He's explaining everything. And what do you think God did? When he explained his case thoroughly, and, you know, some people go before the Lord, oh, Lord, you know everything. Yes, he knows everything. But you presenting the case, just like the other night I told y'all to get your bills, get all of them, because I wanted to make a thorough case before the Lord. We didn't want to come with half the bills. We wanted to come with all of them because I was going to ask him, and I did ask him, Lord, set the people free from this debt and make them debt-free. But we had a thorough case. I came before him. I said, Lord, here are the bills. You had them. I couldn't get your bills for you. You had to do something. You got them. We went before the Lord. He said, get the oil. Bless the oil. And take it and sprinkle it on your fingers and flick the oil over all the bills. It was a thorough case. I presented before him. And told him, God, we need these bills to be gone because we want these people to be free to praise you more. Just as the children of Israel presented that case and said, we want to go out in the wilderness to praise you. And God took them out there and set them free from all that slavery. So you got to present a thorough case. I could stay there, but I got to move. Number five, seek a word from the Lord. See, let me get them to you again. Number one, great test. Number two, you're going to have to great test. Number two, don't listen to the voice of fear. I'm trying to get you some incredible things happening in your life. Number three, seek help from the Lord. Don't go to folk first, go to the Lord first. Number four, present a thorough case before the Lord. And number five, seek a word from the Lord. All right? See, it's right there in verse 14. I'm in 2 Chronicles 20, and here's the 14th verse. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, and the son of Jehaziel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus said the Lord unto you, be not afraid, here's the word, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Don't fear this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, it's God's. See, that was the word. Seek a word from the Lord, because when you get a word from the Lord, you can stand on what he says. That means he's working it out for you. He's going to do what he said he's going to do, and some incredible things, incredible, are going to happen to you. So seek a word from the Lord. I got to move. Here's the sixth thing. Not only do you have tests when incredible things are getting ready to happen, I'm rushing. Number two, don't listen to the voice of fear. Number three, seek help from the Lord. Number four, they presented a thorough case. Present a thorough case before the Lord. Yeah, present your case before the Lord, thoroughly before the Lord. And number five, seek a word from the Lord. And here's number six. Worship the Lord. Oh, my God. Lord, don't make me run around this room here. My God, worship him. Yeah, the reason why something incredible happened to him is because after they went through that terrible test of having a huge army going to kill him and come against him, and after they didn't listen to the voice of fear, but they went to God and just said, Lord, we're going to lean and depend on you. We're not going to embrace the voice of fear. After they sought help from the Lord, which is number three, and after they presented their thorough case before the Lord, they told God all about it. They explained it thoroughly before him. And after they began to seek a word from the Lord, God gave them a word. And then number six, they worshiped the Lord. Oh, my God. They worshiped him. It's right there in 2 Chronicles 20 and 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. They worshiped the Lord. Oh, my God, you have to learn how to worship him. Sunday, even though Amazing Grace, they thought they knew how to worship the Lord, I took time in the service and taught them how to worship the Lord. That's the problem, that most churches don't know how to worship the Lord. They know how to worship football players. They know how to worship basketball players. They know how to worship those who are in hockey. They got basketball players, LeBron James, and some people will take their hand and bow down before him. That's worshiping James.